The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
Goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench. You're on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. Big Red Bench, in association with Bord Gáis Energy, proud partners of the Senior All-Ireland Hurling Championship, which I will be talking to Joe McCarthy about a little later on. First up, to a very special competition we have running on Cork's Good Times, Red FM, and one for the golf fans at that. The 2024 KPMG Women's Irish Open is coming to Carton House in Maynooth from August 29th to September 1st. Cheer on your golfing heroes such as Leona Maguire and Lauren Walsh as they compete to be part of golfing history. We are giving you, yes, you, the chance to be there with huge thanks to Forefront Sports. Not just to be there, but to win a pair of VIP hospitality tickets for Thursday, the 29th of August. To win, just tell me, what is the usual colour of a golf ball? A hard one, I know. So just text me your answer. What is the usual colour of a golf ball? So give me your name and your answer to the following number. 086-8-104-106. I'll go again. 086-8-104-106. Hopefully you got all that. I'll read it out a small bit later on anyway, just to make sure you have it. Best of luck with that one. And now to the sporting action. Cork City had a 2-0 win over Kerry in Turner's Cross last night. Let's hear now from City gaffer Tim Clancy as he spoke to our very own Rory O'Hagan.
Tim, 3 points in the bag. Are you happy enough with the performance?
Second half, yeah. I thought the first half, similar to the last few weeks, I thought we were a little bit slow moving the ball, I thought. Taking too many touches, not even basic things, going out for throw-ins, taking 20, 30 seconds to get the ball back into play. And we started really well, actually, the first maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. Jack had a couple of chances where he got down the side, brought one around the keeper, and then he got in with his right foot as well. And I think we stopped then. We stopped giving each other the ball. We were taking too many touches and looking for the sort of reverse pass. And I thought we played in the... on the side of the pitch that we were on too much. We'd worked on during the week of switching the play quickly, playing in tight areas, trusting your teammates, and then switching it where the space was. And I think after a little rattle of half time, I thought second half we were very good.
Yeah, the intensity was noticeably up in the second half, especially at the start. What did you say to the lads at the break?
Just to move the ball quicker, and even like the likes of Cahill, I thought, like, just give him the ball. Even if there's people around him, give it to him. He's clever and intelligent enough that if two or three players come around him, he just pops it off to someone that's spare, and then the space is on the other side. And we wanted Evan and Dara to be a little bit more aggressive with their runs while we were in possession. And I think a perfect example of that was, I think we were playing on the left-hand side. We went to Sean Murray. He's played it over the top for Dara. He's headed it past the fullback. He's got to the end line and put a cross in, and we've nearly scored from it. So, I think just... to be more positive and more energy and move the ball quickly and run, unselfish running as well, is never a bad thing.
Kerry, to their credit, though, were very dogged, very organised, and they really dug in.
Yeah, they were good. We've looked at Kerry, I've said it during the week. I watched them down in Cove last week and I thought they were excellent. They're a young squad with plenty of legs and pace, and the longer they're together, you can see the better they're getting. And they've got a focal point in Kelleher up top, which they do well to play off him. I think, the boy Brosnan's done really well down in Cove and in recent weeks, coming in off the right on his left foot, and Gleeson's the same on the other side. And listen, they can cause problems. Shawnee McGrath's very intelligent footballer. He's got a low centre of gravity, and when he gets good ball into Kelleher, he's dangerous to threat off them. So, yeah, listen, I thought the first half, I think they clipped the crossbar and did a few half chances, and I thought second half then we limited to few opportunities, should we say. And yeah, listen, I was pleased with the second half, but listen, Kerry were a team that's progressing. I think we'll see, obviously, with the points tally they received so far this season is higher than last year, and I'm sure they'll keep progressing.
Kerry Lions won't score an easier goal, if you knew anything about it, I suppose.
Yeah, listen, we had a free kick from the other side, similar, and Muzz hits the wall. Cahill stepped up over that one, and he hits it with pace, and he misses the wall out and hits the target, and we ask the players that are in the box then to try and get across the line of the ball, and listen, it just hits Charlie and goes in. It's probably a bit luck that we might have needed, but then Barry Coffey gets a great goal, the second one. Listen, they're down to 10 men at that stage. Sorry, they're down to 10 men at that stage, and they have to give up a number somewhere, and they give up the edge of the box, and Jack's a great strike out to him, and it's a great touch and finish by Barry.
Just any update on Sean Murray? Will he be staying on?
Listen, Muzz is a lot of talk's been going on, and I know it has to Sunday to be announced of what's happened with Sean, but listen, there's been loads of positive talk, so yeah, there's probably going to be an announcement imminent.
Okay, and any other incomings?
There's stuff that's right on the table, so there's a lot of talk going listen, between clubs, it has to be done by Sunday, but there's out of contract players as well right up until the end of August. Listen, there's loads of conversations going on. I'm not going to sit here and guarantee anything's done, but there's stuff that we're working on, and again, it's selective to the ones we want, Graeme, that are going to strengthen us. And listen, touch wood, we're still got 15 points clear, and we've 11 games left now, and we'll hopefully, as a club, we'll be planning for the Premier Division next season, and we want quality, and that will be up to that level as well.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate it.
Brilliant stuff from Tim there, and from one type of football to another, as the All-Ireland Football Final throws in at 3:30 tomorrow. Here's our manager, Kieran McGeaney, speaking to Off the Ball's Aisling O'Reilly ahead of the big one.
Kieran McGeaney, first off, how proud are you that these lads, this set of players, have now got an All-Ireland final to look forward to?
Yeah, it's great that they have something to look forward to. I'd be prouder if they win it, you know, and that's the main thing. Like, you know, for both teams, ourselves and Galway, it's one thing getting to it, but, like, you know, like, we all have to be honest, like, the main thing is about trying to win it.
Mm-hmm. And for the experience that you have, obviously, you think back to 02 and obviously being in the final as well in 03. Can you give them advice? Is that something that you'll share with them, like the day, especially the occasion, the amount of people, all of that? It's new territory for these players.
You try to get them to play the game and not the occasion. You know, it's still the same pitch, still the same football, still the same set of goalposts. The noise and the paraphernalia around it can like sort of dilute, like, you know, your focus. At the same time, we'll enjoy our 2 weeks of training. Like, we have a good buzz in the camp at the minute. Like, you know, everybody's bouncing, and we'll use that, like, that energy to try and get everybody going in the right direction. But at the same time, there's a bit of work to be done. Like, so.
And on Saturday, it was an incredibly special moment. You know, just hearing the crowd. You talk about the 16 man constantly in football, and I think for me that was the best example I had ever seen of a crowd getting behind a team and the momentum that it showed. What did it mean, I suppose, for the whole of Armagh to see them get to the final?
Yeah, and I don't think they've experienced like the final be different altogether. Galway are like a very passionate team too.
Yeah.
Like, the, like, you know, when you have a full house in Croke Park and it's rocking, it's a different place. Like, and especially when you stand down at the hill end, you have the hill behind you, but you see the three tiers of the stadium in front of you, like, and it's bouncing, like, there's nothing like it. And so, you know, it's going to give both teams huge energy, but Armagh supporters are like that. Like, you know, they're nuts, but, like, you know, I like that. Like, they go mad. Like, you know, it's funny, like, you talked to a good few of them today, and says, now hardly any of the Donegal Galway ones stayed down on a Sunday night. Like, and you're sort of going, well, you're supposed to go home the Saturday night. Like, so, like, you know, they take the two nights, but that's, listen, we don't get there that often. Like, you want to enjoy it, you want to have a good time. Like, so to me, as I say, I hope the fans go nuts. I hope they enjoy the 2 weeks, and if we get a touch of the green and things go well for us, I hope we get another 2 weeks after it as well.
And one aspect that I really noticed after the game, in particular with the players, was that they ran to you, like Rian seeing you, he ran to you, what it meant that you've now got them to this All-Ireland final. I spoke to Aidan there about it as well, and, you know, he said absolutely, for everything that you've done for them and soldiered with them obviously for so long, what did it mean for you to see that as well, the emotion of they're being so happy for you to be there in an All-Ireland?
It's nice, but I suppose it's the other way around for me. Like, I've had my day in the sun, I've got to climb those steps. Like, I've been very lucky, I've been part of, like, probably Armagh's most successful team. I got to play with some fantastic players and had some great times. Like, yeah, like we might have wished we had more, but we had, you know, we had a brilliant 10 years. Like, for me, like, these players are better they're better footballers. Like, you know, I think they have it in them. Like, they just have to believe. They have to just, you know, get across that line. Like, I think that, you know, it could start off especially for them too. But, like, you know, they're coming up against a strong team. Like, nobody's going to hand it to them. It's going to be a battle. Like, you know, same as it was for us against Kerry all those years ago. It just came down to the last kick of the balls and stuff like that there. So, to me, like, it's great that, you know, that they say things like that. Like, it's, you know, it would make you, like, you know, very proud, the fact that that's the way to think. But it's their day in the sun. It's them that climb the steps. Like, you know, we're the old fogies in the background now. Like, you know.
Maybe this is a silly question, but was this always the ambition, to be the manager and to get Armagh back to the
Not
top?
Not necessarily to be the manager. It's I love seeing Armagh at the top. I love football. Like, you know, I love my time at Kildare. Like, I've huge friends down there too. I just love football. And, you know, like, everybody has a shelf life, and like, I've loved the orange and white since I was a child. I love it until they put me in the box. Like, that's just the way I'll always be wherever I am. But, like, to see them at the top table is where, like, whether I'm here, whether I'm not, it's what I'd like to see. Like, you know, that they're it's part of my DNA. It's entwined in everything that I do. My family, like, my friends, like, they're, like, you know, they all know it. Like, even, like, you know, all of them, like, could be going for pints. Like, you know, don't talk to Geezer. Like, you know, there's a match on. Like, we'll see him in August or September type of stuff. So, you know, it's I wouldn't say it was an ambition. It's just like, when you were asked, you don't say no. You know, it's not always an easy position to be in, but, like, as long as they want me, I'll hang around. So when they don't, I'll walk.
Has it been heard over the years with the criticism?
Listen, nobody ever says it to me. Like, I'm lucky enough that particular
way. Do you like it that way?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I'm getting to that age. Like, I've only one arm at the minute, so the other one's a bit dodgy. Like, that, maybe. Nah, like, it's, listen, when somebody has a really good opinion, like, and, like, they can base it in facts, they'll say it to you. And when somebody wants to talk nonsense and spite, like, they'll usually say it in social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my thing is, like, you know, if you're really something strong to say, let's see at the meeting, put it on the table, see what you can add to us. If I thought somebody can add to us with all their knowledge and all their ability, I'm the first man to bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just there to throw stones and sticks, like, you know, go down to the play park and play with all the other kids.
Mm-hmm. I was speaking to Aidan there just about the why. Like, why do you do all this? Like, yes, you love football, yes, you're really talented, but I often think, you know, there's another reason there as well that drives you on to be as committed as you are. What is your why?
Me?
For doing it for so long and so passionate.
I've always just, like, excellence is always sort of like, I've been curious about it all my life. Like, what makes one person good at something and another person not so good? And, like, you know, like, the whole nature versus nurture debate, like, the science behind it, the psychology behind it, all of those things. But the other side to it is like, you know, the smaller things, the nuances that, like, we all take for granted, the cliches that people, like, you know, leave to the side, that we don't want to understand, because it's it would mean then that we all can work hard and achieve things. You know, we're a wee bit happier when we find, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Like, you know, I'm not good enough. Like, we have that safety net. Like, and it's not like, don't get me wrong, like, if you're 7'2", like, you know, have a better chance of being a good volleyball player or a basketball player. Like, if you can shift, or if you could, like, don't get me wrong, and those things, physiological makeup is huge. But in terms of your life goal, like, in terms of, like, you know, doing things, like, you know, most people just don't like rolling up their sleeves and working hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it counts for a lot. I'm not saying it counts for everything, but, like, it gets you a lot of the way there. I remember asking John Kavanagh, like, you know, what made a world champion, like, and, like, what did he think? And he thought about it, and he says, Kieran, you know, the only thing that I've seen that, like, you know, like, underlines every good fighter I have here is that he shows up every day.
Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you're not going to work hard.
Yeah, like, and this thing about, like, you know, talent. You know, it's not that it's overrated, like, but, like, you can't use, oh, if I trained, I could be as good as him. That's a poor excuse.
Mm-hmm. And then family-wise, obviously, doing it alongside your wife as well, that's involved, which is brilliant to see. And obviously, as a whole, steeped in Armagh football, what does it mean to the whole family?
She's a Kerry woman.
Well, so, she is, yeah.
So I better not say she's steeped. Her brother would have played for Kerry Rory. And, like, listen.
Sorry, I meant, like, uncles and all of that,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, no, like, in fairness, you know, they like to see you well. They're still Kerry men through and through, like, but, like, they still like to see you do well. No, it's great. Like, listen, I think sporting, the GAA especially, like, you know, people talk about the amateur organisation and stuff like that. Like, you know, that to me is one part of it. Like, but to me, it's the I suppose it's the friendships, it's the bonds, like it's the bit of crack, like it's the opinions, like everybody being having something, like it's an anchor for most families, like, and things like, well, I think we all have to belong to something bigger than ourselves, like to show us what life is all about, like, you know, that's why we have families, that's why we have villages, that's why we have cities. Mm-hmm. Like belonging to something bigger than us gives us an anchor in life, and like, you know, it's, that's important, you know, and to me, you know, like that's part, like that sort of belonging is a big part of it. Like, listen, it's as I say, like it, sometimes it's very hard to articulate, like, you know, like what that has done for me on a personal level. But like I've got more out of it than I've given mm-hmm. it, so I'll always be grateful for it.
And facing Galway then, what can you expect from them? You know them well.
Yeah, like, listen, Jason will have them. He's like a host, like a huge belief in his own ability, which, and rightly so, because he was a brilliant footballer. He's a good man, like, yeah, they'll get on very well with Park. They're big, they're strong, they're aggressive, huge, in fact. Like, you know, I say, well, like when Shane Walsh is the smallest of 6'2" and he's built like a tank, like, you know, like, you know, you know you're coming up against a big team, and especially when like a player his talent, like, you know, Comer, you know, he's an unbelievable player in front there, makes them tick, especially with the restarts. Yeah, listen, I know it's going to be a tough game, listen, but we don't expect anything different in a final, like it's mm-hmm. there's not going to be much asked nor given, like, so you know, it's just toe to toe and let's see who comes out.
Does it help that you know Porrick?
Listen, it's that competitive juices will be there for the two of us, like, but like, you know, we're around a long time, like we're not big into seeing silly stuff on the line. There's a lot of people like that sort of stuff. It's not really his or my style, like, mm-hmm. you know, we've always believed if you want to say something you have to back it up, like, so there's a lot of people out there who can't, wouldn't be the same, like, you know, no, it'll be all like it'll be good. Listen, one of us is going to go home extremely disappointed, and one's going to go home elated. Like, but like, I don't think either will begrudge the other, regardless.
Brilliant, Kieran. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
And here's Galway manager Padraig Joyce speaking to Athabasca's Tommy Rooney ahead of tomorrow's clash.
Padraig Joyce, how are you? We're in Salt Hill, Pearse Stadium. This is kind of where you're going to be training and building up to the All-Ireland final over the next 10 days or so. Less even.
No, yeah, no. We're good. We're obviously delighted to be in the final, and it's great that we're still training as one of the last two teams in the 2024 Championship. So yeah, we were here Tuesday night. We're here again tonight, yeah, and we'll be here again next week for a couple of nights. And it's great. It's a brilliant place to be.
Yeah, it is fantastic, and I think there's such excitement around the country at the minute for even the hurling final and the football final. There's kind of new parents, and I even found it in the tunnel at Croke Park afterwards. There was a bounce. Yeah. There's players there that are really happy to be where they are. There must be something you can tap into there, that kind of buzz that's about this week.
Look, there is. It's obviously, I think the GAA needed something like this. You know, it's definitely, you have Cork Clare on Sunday, you know, and you have ourselves in Armagh. Like, there are two teams who haven't won anything in 20 years, so they're hungry supporters and hungry players, you know, hungry management, all that kind of stuff. So, and again, look, both teams are there on merit. They're the two best teams left in it at the minute. So, yeah, it's going to be a cracking final. Like, there's no doubt about that, but unfortunately, it'll have to be a loser, but hopefully it's not us.
One of the interesting things as well is, like, Brian Lohan and Pat Ryan both won All-Irelands in the 90s. Mm. Yourself and Kieran McGeaney both won in Ireland in 98, 01 and then 02. Like, it is a factor. Like, what is the big difference from 98 and 01 when you're prepping as a player to 22 and 24 prepping as a player?
The big difference, obviously, Tommy, is that when you're prepping as a player, you have to worry about yourself, you know, and nobody else, you know, like, when your players can be selfish at times, just worry about themselves, whereas right now I have to worry about 62 people that's involved with me in the backroom team, including players. We don't have 62, sorry, we've 20 probably in the backroom team.
It's not a 52.
Yeah, we're not like the boys on the road. We have 62 in total, like, between, you know, bus journeys up and logistics, all that sort of stuff, and look, we've a fair bit of a done. We've a great fella there, and Sean Rattigan looking after most of our logistics is great. Yeah. But I have to worry about everything else. I probably can't probably enjoy it or relax as much as I'd probably like to. But you just find yourself as manager, anyways, if you're too relaxed, you're kind of getting nervous and japers, am I doing this wrong or right or whatever. You're just constantly worried to make sure everything is right and make sure everyone is as relaxed as can be and whatever. But I think we have a good culture in the group anyway, a good environment with the lads. Joe, we get on really well together. Like, when we're training, we train hard and we work hard and we're not afraid to criticise or say whatever to each other. You know, but we do have some great crack, in fairness, like, and we've really enjoyed the journey this year. We've enjoyed our victories for the night of and sometimes the day after, depending on how the gap is in the games, you know. But a great bunch of lads, and we probably are a little bit experienced from a couple of years ago, you know, so we probably take a little bit from that.
You can see that, and a lot of the conversations we've had say with different managers, and especially even I've heard yourself and Kieran say it, that the victors kind of write the scripts, and sometimes the analysis can be a bit unfair after the fact. Yeah. But what you can see what you're building at Galway, and it is similar to Armagh in terms of the depth, in terms of, I suppose, even the backroom team that you've got around you, that you've put around yourself. Trust is such a big thing. Like the people, trusting the people you work with, trusting the players themselves, then trusting yourselves. Yeah. Is that something that you've actively worked on fostering over the last few years?
In big time, yeah. Look, I think it's huge. Like, you know, obviously you have to trust the people that you have, trust the players when they go on the pitch, you know. I think it's massive, you know, and loyalty would be a huge one to me as well, you know. But look, the lads are great, you know. I don't force anybody to be here, put it that way. If they want to be here, they're here. If they don't, they know where to go. The door is never locked. But these lads that's here have given me everything the last couple of years, you know, and we've developed the squad, obviously. There's lads, footballers who had over the years have left and gone or got let go for different reasons, you know. So look, we'll be thinking of those as well all the time, because everyone just wants the best for Galway football. That's why when I was playing, you know, the reason I got back in management is because football gave me so much in Galway. So I just felt like something to give back into it, and look, I'm really enjoying it, and it's an honour and a privilege to be doing it.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because I know you've had lads like Keane Hernan and others that have possibly gone on Erasmus and come back in, and all the injuries that you've had earlier in the year, like that ability to be able to allow people to come in and out of that door but also remain part of the group and have that trust there. Like, how have you fostered the depth? I know the injuries forced your hand to touch, but it is something that was in the back of your head from 22.
I know it is. Like, obviously when subs come on the pitch, you know, people expect them to do miracles, when our lads probably didn't get the time to do it in 22, and all of a sudden we haven't depth, but we felt we had the depth in 22, you know. But it didn't materialise that way. But you know, you go back to like Keane Hearn and them lads, like they're great young lads. Like, Keane is 21 years of age, and you know, broke my heart there 2 weeks ago when he hurt his hand and missed the semi-final, now going to miss the final over. But it's not just that, there's more to that, you see. He's representing his club out there, he's representing, you know, his family, his parents, and like, he has to go now and just sit there training, and it's killing him to do it. Like, I know this, and you know, it's tough when that happens, and you create a bond with the lads. You nearly become, you know, too invested in them sometimes, you know what I mean. Not that I'm ancient or anything, but I'm probably getting a bit older, as you know, and the lads 21. You remember back to your own time, 21, like, if them kind of things happened to you, you would be devastated. So yeah, but unfortunately then you see, you just have to not forget about them, just move on with the next man up and try and get everyone faster together, and get everyone, you know, make up a little bit different, an extra few percent to cover his loss, you know. So yeah, it can be tough at times, no doubt. Yeah,
you yourselves an Ireland man, and you know each other so well going back to 22, and such a colourful history, and even you can see with the matchups, and you're trying to figure out like who's going to mark who, or even I saw a couple of people trying to pick a combined 15, and it's impossible. I tried it myself. Yeah. Like, there's so much that's 50-50 going in here.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, yeah. And the results probably show that as well. You know, like, you've won each in a draw. Like, you know, there's, you always get a team with a kick at the ball in it, you know, all the time. So look, Armagh, they're a merit. We know that. So they've haven't lost too many games. I think Tyrone's only championship game they've lost the last couple of years in normal time, you know. So look, it's going to be a huge battle, but it's going to be, you know, an intriguing battle as well. Like, while it is, you know, tactical, people might say, but both teams like to play football as well. I know that. Kieran approaches games where he needs to get his number of scores on the board. We're the same, so I think it's going to be a fascinating battle. Yeah.
There was a conversation we had in the football pod of Paddy Anders and James Donoghue during the week, and it was kind of just tied in around chemistry. It kind of took on a life of its own, where the lads are on about different things they did to develop chemistry between certain players, and I suppose the point of it was that in the 22 final, like, Shane had a day of days, an unbelievable performance, and Damien maybe didn't get into it as much. And I know it's not as straightforward as saying Shane has a good day, Damien doesn't, yeah. Damien has a good day, Shane doesn't, but developing chemistry and attack, that's something you would have done as a player as well. Do you feel like the group of forwards you have, the different threats that you have, that, do you think they're combining in the way that you want them to?
They're getting there, yeah. They're definitely getting there, yeah, you know, and you're always looking for them all. Like, but like, I've never seen any team with 6 forwards that play exceptional on day. I think bar twice ever it happened in Limerick hurling and Kilkenny hurling over the years ago when they clicked in an Ireland final. But yeah, you're always looking to try and get the best out of the players. But again, there's structures in place, there's different stuff. But if the, you know, as a forward, the beauty is if the ball's not coming to you, like, you go find the ball, like, and make it come to you. You know, they're not like, whereas defender is different, he has to cover a certain part of ground. But
I guess Damien in the semi final, the quarter final against Dublin, he illustrated in his second half performance where maybe it wasn't happening for him against Sean McMahon.
Yeah.
But he laid off 3 scores and turned over a kick.
He assisted 4 scores second half to us. Yeah, but again, the nature of his injury that day, like, you know, he couldn't run too far. He just had to stay inside, you know. But yeah, the key was, it'd be great if the 2 of them could click, and the 3 of them click, and the 4 of them would click on the same day. But you know, I think it's a good sign of the team as well that, you know, we're getting away without them all clicking. So like, hopefully they've won one more chance to click.
Yeah, you wouldn't tell us in the press conference afterwards exactly what you texted Kieran McGeaney. He revealed it a few days later. He said you made a couple of predictions along the way as well. You definitely back yourself for it, don't you?
Oh, you have to, yeah. Look, I mean, I said it when I first came in here, you know, that the job I was about, you know, but again, it's not so much tongue in cheek, but at the same time,
of course, I know,
like, you know, I'm a light-hearted character, you know, I do take things seriously when I go at them, but I like the crack, you know, I like going out for a few beers with the mates. I love all that, you know, life is for living for me, you know, it's not just all too serious, you know, so yeah, I get on fine with the lads, you know. I just got a good chat to Kieran on Monday morning as well before the battle starts, you know, so just to say, like, we wish her the well and we'll have a beer when it's over, definitely. But yeah, I just felt like, you know, that we were going the right places. I think our man, like, you know, if you're a manager, I think it's a difference between cocky and being confident, you know. If your manager doesn't lead you to where you think you might be going, sure, the lads won't follow as quick. Like, you know, we have to put belief into these fellas that they're good enough. And I think the Dublin game probably was a turning point for us this year, because I was telling them, if we can just stick in it at half time, keep going and get on the track.
You seen them grow with that?
Because when they come in training the following week, like, you see a massive bounce out of them, you know what I mean? And they feel 10 foot tall, like, you know. Next thing, all of a sudden, the injuries are disappearing and everything's going fine, and they're wanting more and asking more questions all the time. So yeah, there's a great buzz around the place here in training. There's a great buzz around the county, and look, we'll leave off for another week or two.
Park Joyce, best of luck in 8-9 days' time.
Cheers, Tom.
Brilliant stuff. The ref's whistle has gone for halftime here on the Big Red Bench. Come back to us in the second half. We'll hear from Sean McCarthy about today's Camogie action, as well as last week's All-Ireland. Don't go anywhere.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork's good times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour of the Big Red Bench in association with Bord Gáis Energy, proud partners of the Senior All-Ireland Hurling Championship. Now, to a very special competition we have running on Cork's Good Times, Red FM, and one for the golf fans at that. The 2024 KPMG Women's Irish Open is coming to Carton House in Maynooth from August 29th to September 1st. Cheer on your golfing heroes such as Leona Maguire and Lauren Walsh as they compete to be part of golfing history. We are giving you, yes you, the chance to be there with huge thanks to Forefront Sports. And not just to be there, but get a pair of VIP hospitality tickets for the Thursday, the 29th of August. To win, just tell me a hard question now. What is the usual colour of a golf ball? I know. What is the usual colour of a golf ball? So just text me your name and your answer to the following number: 0868 104 106. That's 0868 104 106. And best of luck. And now back to the sporting action. Earlier on, after the Cork Camogie team booked their place into an All-Ireland final, I caught up with the very own Ger McCarthy to discuss today's action, as well as the final against Clare last week. Enjoy. We're delighted to be joined here with Ger McCarthy once more on the Big Red Bench. Ger, you were in Nolan Park today for us as the Rebelettes won out 4-17 to 9-point victors over Dublin in the Camogie semi-final. A fairly conclusive win there, Ger, after maybe a rough 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment of it. I put it to Ger Manley, the manager, immediately afterwards, like the fact that Cork had a 4-week build-up by winning all their group matches and missing out on the quarter-final. They had to wait to see who they were going to play in the semi-finals. He dismissed that straight away. He just thought it was, look, Dublin were well up for it at the start of the game, and they certainly were. Like, they won a penalty inside the first minute that Amy Lee saved. But I think, look, there was never any doubt in my mind coming up here today to Nolan Park that Cork were probably going to win if they performed, which they did. Dublin certainly put it up to them for the first quarter of an hour, and certainly the first 10 minutes of the second half. But other than that, the sheer strength and depth and quality of the Cork panel is what won it out in the end. And look, when you puck 4-17, as Germany said, no matter who you're playing in an All-Ireland semi-final, you take that and you move on. And look, Cork are rightfully back in the All-Ireland final with a chance to defend the O'Duffy Cup.
Yeah, who were those standout players for you, Ger? There are certainly so many of them over the field.
Yeah, really good performance from Saoirse McCarthy. She got player of the match, the Courcy Rovers half forward. She set up the first goal. She set up Orla Cahalan, the St. Finbar's corner forward, finished with 2-2. But Saoirse McCarthy got 1-2, and she set up that score. And she was just a constant thorn in that Dublin defensive side. She didn't shirk any tackle either. She came in for some heavy punishment, but stood up to it. Deservedly took the player of the match award. the usual suspects up front. Damien O'Connor was brought off early, having done her business, got 4 points. Orla Cahalan really did shine. She got 2-2 in that corner forward position. Midfield, Aoife Healy and Aisling Thompson settled, early on and were the platform for Cork's victory, but once again it was the back. So when you consider then that Libby Coppinger is out injured, probably won't make the final. Maeve Cahalan, they're two mainstays of that defence for the last 4 years that Cork have reached their own finals. Neither of them were there today, but Izzy O'Regan, Pamela Mackey, Maeve Murphy did really well in the full-back line. Amy Lee was superb, saved the penalty and made two other very, very good saves. But I keep going back to it. I mentioned it in my preview of this semi-final in the previous game as well. The Cork half-back line, Hannah Looney, Laura Tracy, Laura Hayes, they have been in just outstanding all-star form all year, and they were the catalyst for a lot of Cork's attacks. And when things were going against Cork at the beginning of the match, they didn't panic, they stuck in. And it's that half-back line, I think, that shone. But also a word for the substitutes who came on. We do mention this quite a bit when it comes to Germanley. He's built a very, very good squad from his time with Matthew Toomey. Saoirse McCartan came off the bench for Katrina Mackey, she scored a goal. Ciara Sullivan came off the bench, she got a point. Orla Mullins did the same, Clodagh Finn got two. I mean, there's so many options now on this bench for Cork, and they're going to need them in the All-Ireland final, but it really shone through once again today. This is a seriously determined, well-drilled Liam Cronin, and the coaches coming for a lot of praise as well from Germany and the work that they've done in the past 3 or 4 weeks. It was clearly evident there today, right up to the final whistle, they were flying around the pitch. Excellent performance from Cork. Could they have done with a stiffer challenge going into the final? Probably. But as he said himself, semi-finals are just there to be won, and that's what Cork did today. And real team effort, but Saoirse McCarthy in that half-back line, Hannah Looney, Laura Tracy and Laura Hayes really standing out for me.
Yeah, with the bench there as well. If there's anyone going to come off the bench and maybe fight their way into a starting place, which they certainly seem to be trying their best to do anyway, who do you think it's going to be with likes of McCartan there?
Yeah, probably Saoirse McCartan, although Ciara Sullivan, the newest Stone player, she's only just back this year from like a long-term injury. She's certainly somebody that could slot into the half forward line. To be fair, I think Germany will probably go with the same 15 again. Saoirse McCartan might force her way into the thinking, all right, just with her physicality and her finishing ability. But I think she's the kind of player that you'd like to spring with 10, 15 minutes to go and make a real difference like she did today. I don't anticipate, unless there's injuries, Germanley changing that lineup. Now, the interesting thing will be Maeve Cahalan. What is her fitness status and where is she at? Ger didn't say that. Look, they're going to take a look at her now over the next 2 weeks before August the 11th when the All-Ireland final takes place in Croke Park. It looks like Libby Coppinger's out, so maybe Maeve Cahalan might force her way back in if she's fit, and possibly Saoirse McCartan. But other than that, irrespective of any of those subs that don't start, if you can call upon the likes of Millie Condon, player we haven't even spoken about, Emma Murphy there, Grainne Cahalan as well from the Bears, there's a few there. Hayley Ryan as well, who works here with us in Cork's Red FM. Aoife O'Neill as well, who's come on a couple of times as well and done fantastically well. Look, there's so many options. But when you've got scorers like Orna Mullins, Clodagh Finn, Ciara Sullivan, you know, you've really got options. And that's the thing that Germanley will need. It'll be a much tighter final no matter who Cork play, and they're going to need their bench to make an impact. Last year, they had the game won pretty much before the sub started coming on against Waterford. That won't be the case this year. So I think they have a lot of work to do. But maybe Maeve Cahalan, if she's fit, he might spring her from the start, Germanley, I don't know. But other than that, I'd expect the starting 15 that took to the field in Nolan Park to do the same at Croke Park.
Did you stay around and watch the Galway Tip game? That was a close one.
I was deep in the deadlines, as you well know, Dan, for yourself, cracking the whip, getting all that audio into you as soon as I could, as well as so I was under one of the main stands, so I didn't see a lot of it. I saw a bit of the first half. It was as tight and as close and as physical as I expected it to be between Galway and Tipperary. Two very, very evenly matched sides. They know each other so well. It's a cliche, but there was never going to be much in it. What I saw, though, was a far more physical game than what I saw. At times, it was quite physical against Dublin. Dublin certainly put themselves about today. There was plenty of scuffles and a lot of yellow cards. It might have been a bit more, but I think just the physicality that Galway and Tip bring, it's going to be a step up than what Cork experienced today. And that's not to dismiss Dublin and their challenge. They're on the rise, definitely. And just one thing about today, Dan, because I've written about it for the coming week, the crowd. Absolutely massive crowd. 18 busloads alone from Dublin. And it was fantastic to see so many kids there with the Dublin jerseys and Cork jerseys, flags, and they added to the atmosphere. It was a really exciting atmosphere. And they stuck around for the second game. You know, there was a fear that everybody just hop off and go home, but they certainly didn't do that. And there was as many Galway and Tip supporters inside Nolan Park. And we were commenting in the media box, like the main stand is, there's usually just one main stand given over for a camogie match in Nolan Park. But today it was both stands. They weren't full, but they were three quarters full on both sides. And there was even people behind the goal at one point because there were so many people in the stands. Like, and that is just fantastic to see for All-Ireland semi-finals. We're still a long way off, you know, the crowds that we see at Croke Park for All-Ireland hurling final day. But camogie is definitely on the up. And when you see 18 busloads of Dublin supporters making the trip, making the effort, even though in defeat, they stayed with their team, they got behind them. And just as many Cork supporters, let's give credit too, there was a huge Cork support today in Nolan Park. It was refreshing to see it, and it certainly added to the atmosphere of both semi-finals.
Galway in 2 weeks' time, what type of test do you think they'd provide for this Cork side?
Probably their toughest test of the year. I think physically wise, look, you know, Galway under Cathal Murray, they've no fear of Cork. They've played them on enough occasions. Getting over Tip will have brought them on an awful lot as well. And they've got shooters all over that forward line, the likes of Alban Rabbit, Niamh McPhee, Kerry Dolan, Niamh Mallon, Ailish O'Reilly. Like, they know Cork inside out, Dan. It's an All-Ireland final, and they'll certainly be looking forward to it. The two sides would have played in the final round this year of the group stage. The Cork won 2-16 to 1-7, but it wouldn't read too much into that. Cork won all their group matches. Galway, on the other hand, obviously losing to Cork in their penultimate round game there, losing to Cork in their final group match, which meant they had to go through a quarter final before today's semi final, but they edged Waterford by 3 points in that. Look, I know Cathal Murray a long time, interviewing him a long time, himself and Robbie Lane there, and John Connors and the people that are behind the scenes, Shane Sweeney. This is a serious Galway team. They're more than capable of raising their game and putting it up to Cork in an All Ireland final. Much will depend on the matchups. And I think midfield will be huge as well. You'll have Niamh Hanafy and Niamh Kilkenny going up against Aisling Thompson and Niamh Healy. That'll be worth the entrance fee alone. I expect Galway to put in their best performance of the season. I expect Cathal Murray to come up with some sort of plan to try and negate getting the ball into the Cork forwards, like the likes of Amy O'Connor, Katrina Matthews having a fantastic season at full forward, and Orla Cahalan. He knows there's goals in that forward line in Cork. He needs to stop that. It's going to be fascinating, I would think, to be fair. Cork will start as favourites, as defending champions. It's their fourth time in a row, fourth year in a row being in an All-Ireland final as well. A good portion of that panel have been together for that, and I think, I would hope that the experience they've gained over the 4 years will get them over the line. But make no mistake, this will be a very, very close physical and a high quality game as well between these two teams. And even though Cork beat them only a couple of weeks ago, as I said, 2-16 to 1-7, don't read too much into that. This is an All-Ireland final. It's a whole different ballgame.
Were Dublin as bad as the scoreline suggested from what I saw? I don't think they were. Like, if they got their two goals that Amy Lee saved, you know, it would have been the same outcome ultimately, but it would have been a closer match.
Yeah, I think the last time they came to Parky Quay for the group stages, they were hammered 4-22 to 5 points. We were there that day for the Big Red Bench, and they just didn't show up. And sometimes that can happen to any team. Today, they definitely showed up. In the first 10 minutes, they were not going to be bullied. They put in some really heavy challenges. They got stuck into Saoirse McCarthy on a couple of occasions as well. And Saoirse took it and gave it back, as she always does. But I do think Jerry McQuaid and Bill McCormack, they're the two main guys behind this team. This is a work in progress, Dan. With the population they have and the pull they have, they should have a very strong camogie team in the coming years. But the scoreline suggests that it was a hammering. It certainly was not. Had they taken those goal chances, as you rightly pointed out, and had they scored that goal in the first, that penalty in the first minute, you know, it would have pushed Cork probably further forward, quicker than they would have liked before they even had to settle into the game. I still think Cork would have won, and I'm surprised they won by the margin that they did. But Dublin are coming slowly but surely, and it's like Waterford. Waterford are another team now. They didn't make the semi-finals this year, and they'd be disappointed after getting to the final last year. You know, it's still the top three: Cork, Tipperary and Galway. You have to break into that top three, I think, to have any chance of winning in All-Ireland. And even though they didn't show it today, you know, they've got Aisling Mar, who's an absolutely outstanding player and free taker, and they've got a couple of other good young players coming through as well. Good spine to that team, with Emma O'Byrne and Kerry Finnegan as well down the middle. This is a team of potential, much like Waterford. Waterford got to an All-Ireland final last year, and I think Dublin needs to get to an All-Ireland final just to kick things on again. The scoreline suggests a hammering. It most certainly was not, and this is a team to watch. Maybe not next year, but in the next 2 or 3 years, I think, with the amount of players that they have to choose from, and with the squad and certainly the money that they have behind them, Dublin will be a force in time to come.
Absolutely. And Cork, you think, going into this one, favourites now?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they won't turn anyone like me for saying it, but look, they do, because when you've been to four finals on the trot, when you've won the last one in the emphatic fashion that you did, when you've come out despite not winning the National League, which is something he would have liked to have done. Ger Manley, the first interview he gave for the Big Red Bench this year, he said, I want to get to an All-Ireland final and I want to win it. And he's achieved the first half of that goal by getting to the final. He has a nearly fully fit panel. If he had Libby Coppinger or Maeve Callaghan at his disposal, I'd really fancy Cork against Galway. I think their experience is going to be a big loss in what promises to be a tight game. But this panel that he's grown over the last 12 months, Ger Manley and his backroom team, and the way they've played, winning all their group matches, they have to go in as favourites to the All-Ireland final. Won't be easy, but if they play to their absolutely full potential and play their best game of the year, I don't think Galway would be able to stop them.
We'll park that one there. I never got the chance to speak to you about it. I'm sure Sarah McKenzie Foley certainly did. Last week's All-Ireland final, look, we'll start with saying what a year, sure, the Cork Hurlers gave the Cork public. It was absolutely incredible from, the first day out against Waterford. It felt like, I certainly thought we were gone straight out of the Championship, and don't mind after the Clare game. And then a fluky draw, maybe, Waterford a tip, and to go on the run we did. It was just an incredible year.
Yeah, whatever highs and lows I've experienced, your TikTok video blogs would tell me that you've had, you must have blood pressure, get yourself checked, because your reactions encompass a lot of what fans were feeling. Like, it's hard to believe, Dan, as you rightly said, at the start of the year, we had lost two games and we were going into a match against the five in a row chasing team of their era, Limerick, on home soil. We got a late penalty from Patrick Horgan and we held on and we won. And then there was a crowd invasion, and that moment the crowd invaded the pitch, and that feel-good factor that night, it's a long, long time. It's 19 years since, it's 20 years now since we won in All-Ireland, since I experienced anything like that to do with the Cork senior hurling team. From there we had a couple of sliding doors moments, but the momentum built, the crowd got behind Cork, they got to the final, and look, last Sunday, what more can you do to win in All-Ireland that Cork did without actually winning it? I know people are still focusing on the Robbie O'Flynn short pull, but I think it's time to move on from that. And Pat Ryan did so immediately after in his press conference by saying we had 100 minutes to get the job done.
Yeah.
And I don't think Clare are getting enough credit. The Clare backs are not getting enough credit for the way they marked Declan Dalton, Shane Barrett, Alan Connolly, some of our best attacking weapons. They just got to grips with them. Could we have had a few more refereeing decisions? Absolutely. How many times this year, though, did some decisions go away and not the opposition's? And these things even themselves out over the year. I've seen the referee take a fair bit of a hammering as well online, which is unfortunate, and it's just not the case. Cork put in an absolutely gargantuan effort. A draw would have been, to me, if I was a neutral, a fair result and a replay and we go again. It wasn't to be, but I think Clare, to be in Croke Park, Dan, and to witness Tony Kelly's goal, to witness Robert Downey's goal, and to witness that moment, that point where Kelly's fallen to the ground, these two fellas standing over him, and he still gets between the posts. I've seen so many kids trying to do that since he's done that. Magical, magical moments. Fantastic to see two such well-supported counties in an All-Ireland, a full house, a fantastic atmosphere, and going right down to the world. Look at the reaction on BBC in England to this and around the world. It was a magnificent day for hurling, a heartbreaking day for Cork. But you're right, there's a bigger picture here. Cork hurling are now back, I think, amongst the contenders at the top table. But we need to park that for the winter, because when the Championship comes around again, we have to go to Ennis and we have to go to Limerick next year's Munster Hurling Championship, unless I'm mistaken. So for now, let's bask in the glow of us being a fantastic run to the All-Ireland final. Heartbreaking loss, but more positive than negative memories, I think, of the season. And Pat Ryan showing why he was the right choice for the job and why there is potential for us to go that one step in the coming years.
Do you think Pat Ryan is the man who gets us over the line on the back of this year? I think so.
I don't think he needed to earn the dressing room's respect. I think a lot of Cork senior hurlers would have known his work with Stars and certainly with the under-20s and what he's done there. A lot of the younger players certainly would have had him. His man management skills, I've seen firsthand, are exemplary. The way he handles the media has been a breath of fresh air. He's a straight talker, but he will talk to you and he will make time for you. Not every inter-county manager does that for you, but he does. Both he and John Cleary have been very, very clear this year, in fairness to them, and certainly to the bench when we've asked them some difficult questions. They've always answered them. But for me, I think Ryan probably needed this year, Dan, to understand just the what's probably now needed to kick on. Like, he's got a backroom team there with Wayne Sherlock and the other lads with him. They know what they have, and they probably now know what they need to add, or maybe what they need to alter next year. Not too much, to be honest with you, but when you get so close to an All-Ireland, it is heartbreaking not to win it, because we know better than anyone the razor thin margins of the Munster Senior Hurling Championship. Like, next year, you know, it's going to be incredibly difficult to get back out of it. Like I've just mentioned, we've two incredibly difficult, the way it is, two home games that we'll absolutely need to win. But look, I think the year Patrick Horgan had breaking that record, the emergence of Alan Connolly, Shane Barrett bursting onto the scene,
Brian Hayes,
the Donies,
yeah,
Brian Hayes, Alan Connolly. Like, I don't want to leave anyone out, because and like the Shawnee Donoghue and Niall O'Leary at the backs, the Donies, and everyone else as well that's come on. Like, the Cork team this year just moved up a level. And it happened that night we beat Limerick in, I think everyone points to the Croke Park All-Ireland semi-final as the highlight for more of the season. But for me, it was Parky Creeve that night, because that's the night anyone that had any doubt within that dressing room, they were gone. They knew they had a chance, and they got to an All-Ireland final, and they could have won it then. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't to be. It was unfortunate, but I wouldn't take too much away from Clare. I just thought Clare were the better team. Probably over extra time, might be controversial to say it. I know there was a, could have been a yellow card for David McInerney, even a black one for Robbie O'Flynn pulling him down. Robbie was pulled for the last attack, but look, over 100 minutes, I just wouldn't deny Clare, because I think they just about, because of Tony Kelly and a few others, were the better team.
You will have your opinion, sure, I'll have mine. I was going to say, Pat Ryan certainly wants him back. Do you think Coggy will be back next year for us? I am of the opinion he certainly will be anyway.
I hope so. I think when you hear him talking, we were lucky enough to talk to him and the build up to the final as well. It's not about medals, and everyone goes on about him. He should, himself and Seamus Harnerty should win a medal, and of course they should. At this point in their careers, they deserved at least one. But hurling owes you nothing, as you well know, Dan. And some of the greatest players that ever played the game never won an All-Ireland. I hope that's not the case with Patrick Horgan. He looks to me, you know, he had a hamstring injury. He clearly wasn't fit, 100% fit on the day of the final, but he was still an effective weapon and an incredible free taker. I just think that there's still plenty left in the tank. Maybe not in as full a role as he had this year, but look, who knows? Come the winter and come into January when we head into the National League, we'll get a sense of what Pat Ryan. He'll need to blood a few more players, I think, from the under-20 panel in the National League and start making some changes and alterations, possibly in the forward line or even in the backs. I don't know. But Patrick Horgan certainly has at least another year left in him if he can maintain his fitness, which we know he can. If he has that, still has that sharpness, that's clear that he does. And just watch him go in the club championships over the coming weeks. So I think that will answer any lingering questions. And certainly his aura and his presence in the dressing room and, you know, his love of it. He certainly wants to come back. I mean, he hasn't said that in public, but I can sense it from watching him and seeing him. And hopefully he's one of Cork's all-time greats. And if he's still able to do a job, why would you leave him out? And I think Pat Ryan certainly will want him around next year.
Absolutely. I think Ben Cunningham and Michael Mullins are probably two lads who step into the team, but maybe that's conversation for another day. I'm running out of time here. Sean McCarthy, thanks so much for speaking to us again here on the Big Red Bench.
No worries, Dan.
Appreciate it, sure. Have a good one, mate. Safe home. After the Camogie win, Jurs caught up with the Cork Camogie boss, Jur Manley.
Okay, Jur, first of all, congratulations into an All-Ireland final as the Cork manager. Proud moment for you and obviously your family and everything. Before we talk about that, lots of work to do before that, but what are your immediate thoughts just after?
It's about winning. Like, I can't be foot perfect. I don't think there's no team played well in the semi-final. Like, yeah. It's not about winning. I'd rather win by a point than 10 or lose in the other way around, you know, because by 10. But look, Dublin started well. They played very well the last day. They probably could have got a goal or two. But look, that's probably a bit of our rustiness. Defensively, Todd, as we went on, we improved immensely. I thought we were very strong. Lord up the centre there, all the backs did quite well, and Thompson midfield and Aoife, and we got to score in the matter of 4-17. Good return anyway.
It certainly is. And from the bench again, something you talked about at the start of the year that you wanted a panel, you wanted people coming on challenging for positions. You've got that. Have you got a few question marks and things to decide now between here and the final?
We have really. I suppose, look, the team is very just settled there the last two or three matches, but it's competition we needed. We said there, myself and Liam earlier on there, that, and it's still the same. We said from there in the last two or three weeks, people show up and you saw Ola Mullins come on there did well, and Clodagh Finn, Sarsha got a great goal, and I think that's why we're doing well. I suppose individually we have some very good players, but the team will win the match for you. And like last year, we showed you need subs come on, and I think they made the difference again today at times. I know the game was probably a bit, we were a bit ahead, but you need those fresh legs come on to change it and put the other team under pressure.
The slow start, is that anything to do with the gap?
I don't know. I think we slow start. I think we're ahead of there the last 2 years. Didn't that we intentionally go to slow sourced out. But I think, to give them their credit, they were up for it. Like, it's not a semi-final. Yeah. No team goes out. Like, I think there's 4-2 after 10 minutes, 5-2. We were quite happy because, like, Dublin have improved immensely. And, like, if they got the two goals early on, it would have been a big difference, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think the scoreline at half-time did them justice. But I think that's the sign of a good team. I think, like, we were cynical and a bit cynical at times. And I think you need to have that, you know. And I think the goal we got before half-time, but as I said, Dublin could have had two goals. You know, Emmy Lee made two very good saves, you know. And for me, I think it's the balance that we have, you know. It's the recovery. Like, they got the goal, we've done got to score. They missed the goal, we've done got to score. And the same good team.
Irrespective of who you play in the final with Galway or Tip, you know the challenge that's coming. So, I mean, it's going to be incredibly tough. How important is the time on the training pitch over the next couple of weeks?
Look, we did a lot of work in the last 3 weeks. We've trained extremely hard. Liam did a great job with them. I suppose it's a different battle now. You have two season teams that we're up against. Give Dublin their credit. They've come from nowhere, really, this year. They won the league. They're very good. But I suppose Tip have been going very good, and Galway are always there. There's not between ourselves and Galway. Like, they were missing good for the day we played in Beloy. We take nothing of it. But I suppose the final's there to be one known. That's our aim, to win the final. And our goal from the start of the year to get back to the final. I think that's the first job done. Next job done is to win it.
Just finally from me, the support you got today, huge numbers to see them in the Cork jerseys. Must have been a lovely feeling to see that when you went out on the pitch.
I've been involved 3 years, and I'd say it was the biggest crowd I've seen at a Camogie match from Cork, and I had to thank the supporters. But I think the Camogie board are driving on a bit as well, and I think the girls' clubs, like, I mean, we have a good variety of players from everywhere, and I thought the media do build it up for us, which is great. And just hopefully, you know, we'll have a crowd in Croke Park, and hopefully the intermediates will win at 6 o'clock, and that'll give a big crowd.
Excellent stuff. See you in Croke Park.
Right, sir.
You're also got up with Laura Tracy.
Okay, first of all, hearty congratulations. Back to an All-Ireland final. Sluggish start, but you got from the second quarter on, you were the better team.
Yeah, we knew Dublin would come out today and be extremely physical and really go after the game. They showed that against Kilkenny, you know, that they bring a huge level of intensity. So I felt like we eventually got to terms with that, and then we pushed on with our own game.
Tough physical match. Was Stanty going into the All-Ireland final, would you prefer a tighter match all over?
Look, I suppose we're looking at ourselves all the time and trying to hit our own targets, so I suppose we'll be happy enough that we hit our targets today. And we always say if we do hit those kinds of targets and our standards, well, then we should come out with a win. So we're always just looking at ourselves, really, and the same again for the next day.
The next day, All-Ireland final, Croke Park. What does that feel like from a player? I know you're only just minutes off the ground, but looking forward to something like that. They're special days in your career.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a kid, you always grow up and that's where you want to be. And it's a big reward, I suppose, for girls, the amount of work that we put in again this year, you know. So there's one more step till we lift that O'Duffy Cup, but we've an awful lot of work to do now for the next 2 weeks.
Congratulations. Looking forward to seeing you there.
Cheers, Jerry. Can't wait.
Here's Orla Cahalan.
Orla Cahalan, fantastic result for Cork into an All-Ireland final. How does that sound?
Oh, amazing. Like, we knew it was going to be a tougher game now coming up here than the game down in the park, but I think we got over the line there in the end, so thank God.
Talk me through your goal, because it happened very quickly, but you finished it superbly.
Oh yeah, it was, I knew before the game, like the whole week, we were just like, we're going after this early on, so goal was on our mind in the full forward line, so I just went for it.
And your second one laid on a bit fortuitous, but you'll take them.
Yeah, I knew Sorsha now from club, she was going to get the ball in from the sideline. To be honest, I thought she was going to put it over the bar, but I was ready at the mark to bounce onto it.
For this team and for the family, you had like a 4-week lead in. Was that a bit long, like that? Maybe you were a bit slow to get going?
Yeah, I suppose thinking of it at the start, it was a bit of a lead, like we thought it was going to be a bit of a drag, but we were so busy coming up to it, like we had training weekends, and we kind of just kept ourselves busy, so on our training matches were as hard as any game, so...
And just finally, from your point of view, I mean, obviously there's a lot of competition for places in that forward line, a lot of things that need to be, you know, you need to be sharp. These next 2 weeks now, our training are going to be fairly intense?
Oh yeah, everyone's pushing for places on that team, no one's safe at all. So yeah, I can't wait for the next 2 weeks now leading up to the match.
And some excitement in the Callan family house, a lot going on at the moment between the football and the Camogie.
Yeah, I suppose after last weekend, it's not so bad to move on quickly from it, not dwell on any, that's the thing about GAA, you know, don't have time to dwell on any losses, so... Yeah, the lads are playing today, so we wish them the best of luck as well.
Very well said. All the best in the All-Ireland final. Look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right, Laura Hayes, back to another All-Ireland final. Fantastic achievement for you. Fourth year in a row that Cork will be there, but first quarter was a bit sluggish, but you got going once you got those early goals.
Yeah, look, I suppose job done at the end of the day, and that's the main thing. No complaints being back into an All-Ireland final, that's for sure. But yeah, look, slow start, but I guess having not played in 4 weeks, even though we trained really, really hard, that probably was going to happen for the first 10 minutes. But I think once we settled, started playing our own game, we kind of got into the swing of things. Well done.
Huge support here today, but for both counties, great to see it. See both main stands full. From a Camogie player's point of view, lovely to play in that atmosphere.
Yeah, it was. It was actually really loud at the start. It was like brilliant, really good, like, to return to that now after the 4 week break. But yeah, look, it's great that we have that. I think it was something that was said during the week, but look, there was great support for the hurlers last week, and we hope that those flags stay up now for the All-Ireland final in 2 weeks' time.
I've asked some of the other players, the butterflies that you realise you're now heading to Croke Park for an All-Ireland final. I doubt that ever changes.
No, no. To be honest, it's a weird one. It hasn't sunk in yet. No. In a way, like, you're so focused on getting the job done, you don't really get to think past that. But yeah, look, I'd say we'll really get to be grateful now and enjoy tonight, and then it'll be head down for after that.
Just finally for you and for your club, something to look forward to, a lot of excitement now, but you got to get the job done.
Yeah, exactly. Look, to be fair, my club are always brilliant to support me. They always bring a bus, or they're great to promote me online or whatever, so I'm obviously really grateful for that. And I'm sure there'll be a bit of hype at home, but I'll try to keep my head down a small bit, and yeah, hopefully, look, come Sunday 2 weeks, they'll be up there again.
Excellent stuff, Laura. All the best in the final.
Thanks very much.
Laura Hayes there. Last but not least, it's goalkeeper Amy Lee.
Amy Lee, fantastic to be back in another All-Ireland final. I doubt that ever gets old hearing that, but like, you had to work for it today, but you're there now and lots to look forward to.
Yeah, Dublin definitely made us work hard for it, especially towards the end there. They started running at us and popped over some lovely few scores, to be fair to them. But look, we're happy now. It's another step in the right direction, and we're looking forward now to the next couple of weeks.
You were busy today. Less than a minute gone and you had to be on your toes. Great penalty save, but you made some important saves too. Important times when goals might have gone in and maybe Dublin might have built a bit of a comeback.
Look, that's what you train for in the wise words of Roy Keane. Like, that's my job at the end of the day. Like, I'm the last line of defence, and I'm just hoping that I can pull off the saves, and today it did happen, kept us in the game.
Fantastic for you from your point of view, like, especially saving one so early. But like, now the heads have to get down. You've got 2 weeks to an All-Ireland final. We don't know who you're playing yet. It won't matter, because Galway or Tip, either of those, are going to be a really tough challenge, and you have to build on that again. But it seems like there's a good spirit in the camp.
There's great spirit in the camp. Again, like you've seen there, the girls came on, they started popping over scores very quickly, and it's great to see. Like, obviously, like, it's everyone's ideal world. Everyone could start, but they can't, and they come in with such a great attitude, get their job done, and we go home, and we got over the line because of them, as well as the other girls that worked so hard. So we're looking forward to it now. Like, obviously, after today, we have fine-tuning to do, but that's the same as always, and we'll drive on now for the next couple of weeks.
Just last question. Fierce excitement now in all the clubs, but especially your own club, New Piercy. Are you looking forward to all that?
I love it. Yeah. Like, all year, there's always Piercy kids around at the games. Like, they have such a good support. No doubt the 52-seater is booked already. Like, they're such a good club to have. And it's not only the Camogie section, we get a few of the lads up as well. Like, it's great to see. And look, I suppose at the end of the day, like, what you want is you're hoping them getting to see us play will drive them on as well. And that's what it's about at the end of the day. Like, throwing sitters out to them, signing Hurley, signing jerseys. Like, you want to keep them in the game as long as possible. And if that's what it is, then it's great. Like,
excellent stuff. Look forward to that All-Ireland final. See you there.
Oh, thank you.
Brilliant stuff. And the winner of our Forefront Sports VIP hospitality package for the KPMG Ladies Irish Golf Open is Liz Laffin from Tipperary. Liz Laffin from Tipperary. Huge congrats. We will be in contact. And thanks a million to everyone who entered. The ref's whistle has gone for full time now here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.
The Big Red Bench
with Ford Gosh Energy. Proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship.
Cork's Good Times. Red FM. Cork's Good